Something on the Great Commission for us today, for our future, for the future. The late Michael Green, who was an author of Christian books, a college tutor, and an international evangelist, comments about the Great Commission that it's always directed outwards, to the unreached. The Christian church is always called to a discipling, teaching evangelism. It's a commission that represents Christ's standing orders for his church. Unfortunately, as Green goes on to comment, many churches in the West have to a large extent neglected it and do not show a passionate desire to fulfill this last command of Jesus. If this is so for the Western Church in general, do you think it's also so for us? And if it is so also for us, why do you think that may be? Ed Silvozo, who is also an international evangelist and Bible teacher, suggests two causes that interact and which may not come immediately to our minds. But I think they have some relevance for the Western Church as a whole. Perhaps, what do you think? May they be relevant for us also? The first of these two causes is that churches have generally trained pulpit ministers. They train pulpit ministers to be pastors of the pew rather than equippers of mission to the unreached. And secondly, churches at the same time have failed to help members become mission ministers, disciples in their sphere of influence, equipped and enabled to reach out in their school or their workplace, their hospital or their care home, who are actually quite happy to let the ministers do it. And so in a way, the Great Commission falls between these two dynamics. And they reinforce each other. So that perhaps not at all deliberately, but accidentally, and energy is mostly invested in what we can cope with to keep the show on the road, rather than taking risks in going out to disciple the world. We perhaps like our pulpit ministers to be pastors to the pew, and perhaps we like, as members, not to feel responsible for the Great Commission. I think here is a moment to pause and consider the word go that Jesus uses. We tend to interpret the word as an action command, but it's actually better seen as a present participle, to use a bit of grammar. In other words, it's a continuing and ongoing state of being. It's about as you go through your day. And let's also reflect a little bit about something that's at the heart of discipling. Discipling is nowhere expressed in the scripture as Bible bashing, but it is spoken of in terms of love blessing. See, as disciples go about their daily life, they let their love grace the life of others, so then others may come to glorify God and may even end up asking, why do you do what you do? Why are you are as you are? Why do I feel when you're around that I can't be rude, or I have to be polite. I have to be responsive to the goodness I sense coming from you. But then with gentleness and respect, you can speak of Christ. Now, some may then want to know more. Some of those may come to baptism. And some, perhaps, hopefully all who are baptized, will become open to be schooled in the teaching of Jesus. See, discipling is about going in a mix of loving and learning. Loving God and learning about him, sharing him, not necessarily in heavy-handed ways, not at all in heavy-handed ways, but sharing him as you go about being who you are, where you are, with whom you are with. Loving others and offering God appropriately. Opening your heart and your eyes to see how others might benefit from his blessing, from his grace, from his peace, from his help, from a prayer, from a word. Teaching him and his love. Teaching him in many ways, the spoken word, a practical action, an empathy of being, a prayer of support. Teaching him and his love so others will be touched and learn to love. And so discipleship grows, like fruit on a tree, fruit being offered, fruit being received, fruit generating a kingdom orchard. And we've spoken about doing an Alpha course. And I think this approach is what underlies Alpha. And so when we can, may the Lord bless us in that venture of the Great Commission. But locked down as we are, unable to go out, perhaps now the time is a time for two things: to pause and honestly and truly reflect on, are we a church passionately yearning to implement the Great Commission? And to ask ourselves, what might we do to move forward in that way? And perhaps we can begin that process of opening ourselves up to that obedience of our love by praying for God's help. So I pause and offer this prayer on all our behalf. May it be the prayer of your heart and soul and spirit. And these words are in your own. Our Heavenly Father, you know our fears and our failures, our frailties and our faults. You know our need of greater love. Open our hearts to yearn to seek your will and your kingdom more and more with each passing day. Open our beings to desire to know Jesus more and more, more and more deeply, more and more truly. Open our lives to the living, empowering presence of the Holy Spirit, through whom alone we may know Jesus and live in ways that please you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let us sing, One Shall Tell Another.